Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The newest neighbor on the National Mall, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, dedicated on October 16th.
Because he had seen hills and mountains made low, and rough places made plain, and the crooked places made straight, and God make a way out of no way. That is why we honor this man. Because he had faith in us. And that is why he belongs on this mall. Because he saw what we might become.
And while the memorial itself features several components which sprawl over 4 acres, it's the statue by sculptor Lei Shen that's gotten a lot of the press. And here to tell us why is Natalie Hopkinson, now a columnist for The Root and the author of Deconstructing Tyrone, a new look at black masculinity in the hip-hop generation. She is also a historic preservationist and a former arts writer for The Washington Post. Natalie, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Do you react differently as an American, as an African-American perhaps, kind of personally, than as a historic preservationist and art critic to the Martin Luther King Memorial?
You know, I actually don't distinguish between any of those roles. They're all sort of rolled in together. And as I was walking in to see the MLK Memorial for the first time, I couldn't help but feel just sort of an emotional response to it, that this man is getting this recognition after all these years.
We have to talk about the statue. It's gotten its share of criticism, much of it due to its ties to China. The sculptor is Chinese. The granite comes from China. Union members complained that workers from China were hired to assemble it. Some people even say there's an undeniable resemblance to Chairman Mao. Does any of that resonate with you?
You know, one of the key messages that Martin Luther King Jr. had was to judge people by the content of their character and not anything else, and certainly not the color of their skin, and I'm guessing not what continent that they come from. It is a beautiful sculpture. It really is more a symbolic victory than anything. You know, a black man is there on the mall. I mean, the mall is the place for where Americans celebrate white patriarchy, essentially, and he has interrupted that. And, you know, these are the things that I respond to very personally and emotionally about.
And listeners, we can open up the phones for a few minutes for anybody who has actually been down and seen the Martin Luther King Memorial yet. Have you seen it? Let's take a couple of calls. What was it like for you emotionally? What was it like for you aesthetically? What was it like for you politically? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Natalie Hopkinson. And if you have seen the MLK Memorial, 212-433-9692. To what we were just talking about, Natalie, comment on our webpage. In fact, you know what? I think the same person who posted this comment is calling in, so let's just talk to him. Barlow in Astoria, you're on WNYC. How you doing?
Hi. I'm a full-time artist, and I was really appalled to see what we got from China, beyond the fact that it's by a Chinese artist who, as far as I know, cooperated rather than dissented from a totalitarian society. And I am so in admiration of Martin Luther King and his words that I was just mortified to see that sculptor could have been a Chinese leader if he was in different garb. Mm. I hope it works, but I don't think it's a transcendent piece, and Martin Luther King's words and life were transcendent.
Barlow,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Wow. You hear how emotional the caller was about all of that, Natalie.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think that there are very valid criticisms from art critics such as Blake Gopnik at the Daily Beast that look, if you look at it just as purely a work of art, you are looking for something that's transcendent, that is not, that moves out of the literal. Like, it's a very literal piece. out of a mountain of despair, a stone of hope. So they're taking his metaphor and putting it into something concrete. And so, you know, but what I do think is important to remember is that memorials aren't exactly, they're not the same as a painting in a museum. It isn't necessary for there to be many layers of deconstruction to understand it. You want five-year-olds to be able to go and see it. You mm-hmm. want veterans to be able to see it. Art is not always accessible to everyone, and in its very direct messaging, the memorial works, in my opinion.
Gina in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You've been down and seen it?
I have. It was one of the most moving experiences I ever had. I saw it a couple of weeks ago in the pouring rain. It made me think of the phrase, justice rolls down like the waters. It was so the rain was so heavy. And then standing at the reflecting pool, or I think that's what they call it, mm-hmm. the individual drops were so big falling in there. I just felt like it was all the people he touched in the world. I mean, it was... Now, that's not talking about the statue itself,
yes.
but I thought the statue was unbelievably wonderful, and I heard from people that they thought it was terrible. And when I asked them later, they said, oh, I saw a picture in the paper. I said, you've got to go see it. You've got to go be there. And I'm just going to identify myself as a white American, so just because it was so, so moving.
Thank you very much, Gina. I appreciate it. And Natalie Hopkinson from The Root, let's talk about the memorial beyond the statue. What else is there to it?
Well, the statue itself is the iconic image that most people have seen. But then there's also, as I mentioned, there is this mountain of despair that he's literally carved. It looks like he's carved out of a mountain. So if you walk in from the back, as I did, and you see the inscription, then when you walk past the two mountains, there's Martin Luther King. And then there's a whole wall of his quotations that run around the length of both the mountains and the sculpture itself. And all of it is right on the mouth of the Potomac River, across from the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial, very symbolically placed. And if you shoot your picture, you can get, you know, an image of Martin Luther King standing next to the monument. It's amazing.
There were even some controversies, I understand, around the inscriptions of the quotes. So, for example, the famous drum major for justice quote, the whole thing is, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. Amazing words. And then it's squashed down on the memorial, too. I was a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness. Does that bother you?
You know, it doesn't. It did, and this is with all due respect to Dr. Maya Angelou, who I believe was the first person to really raise the alarm about the shortening of that quote. It does lose a lot of its richness when it's shortened like that. But
she said it makes him look like, quote, an arrogant twit. That's what Maya Angelou said.
Well, and I disagree with that. I mean, coincidentally, I used that quote just as it shortened the same way for my next book. So I actually took it out just out of respect to her because I didn't realize that there was all this issue around it. But in the black cultural tradition, the position of a drum major is somebody who's, they're the person leading the band, and they're the ones, and so it was very evocative to me because it called into all of these cultural traditions that exist in the black community, and I don't think it's made him seem arrogant, but I unlike Dr. Angelou, I didn't know him personally, and, you know, it wasn't around there, but, you know, that might be part of the issue as well.
Kunst in the Bronx, you're on WNYC, thanks for calling. Is it Const? Is
oh,
that
hi.
Your name?
Yeah, I didn't have the phone to my ear. Yeah, I wasn't sure you'd get to me, but I took a look at the picture of the statue, and you're speaking about some of the fine-grained information around it, but first glance, I don't understand the choice of body language. You know, this whole stance of armoring oneself with the folded arms against the chest, when my impression of his life was exposing himself to the world, you know, unto death. Mm-hmm. So once we get a statue, perhaps specifically a statue of a guy, We get all of these, I mean, maybe it speaks to your deconstruction of Tyrone as you were introduced. Why do we get the image of a person folding his arms against his chest in this kind of protective, belligerent manner, as it impressed my eye?
It's a really interesting question. And in the context of your work, Natalie, writing about black masculinity, mm-hmm. what do you think?
Absolutely. Early on, when there was controversy early on before it was completed around this pose, people thought he looked angry and confrontational. And we ran essays on the root that argued that, you know what, Martin Luther King was confrontational. He was always challenging America to live up to its promise. So they did not want it to be softened or whitewashed. His stance was uncompromising. He did not want war. He was a fierce advocate for peace. And there are a lot of reasons why, even today, and probably will always be reasons why that confrontational stance is needed in this country. And that's the role that Martin Luther King has filled.
It's really interesting to me because I think that's the thing that we have to remind people about regarding King over and over again every year on Martin Luther King Day as new generations come up, which is that he wasn't just for nonviolence as some kind of passive thing, let's all be nice to each other. He was an activist.
That's right.
He was trying to work forcefully for change, to use forceful nonviolence, and that those two things go together. But maybe the sculptor or the directors of the memorial who commissioned the sculptor, I don't know, decided we have to put that leaning forward aggressiveness in a good way, you know, very much on display in this memorial.
Yes, and I think that society needs their critics. We need these powerful voices to be our moral conscience. And we can't pretend that it's ever a completed task. Like we'll never get there because we're human beings, but there should be this person that's there, you know, and I think it's perfect poetic justice for him to be there forever, having that stance, pushing us to be better than we are.
And with all, and there are comments coming in, people will continue this discussion and eventually, you know, hopefully everybody will get down to the mall. I haven't yet. And decide what we think about it for ourselves. Dante from Fort Greene, as an African-American man, he writes, I am conflicted by how appalled I am by the statue. Admittedly, I haven't experienced it in person, but emotionally the images I've seen do not resonate at all. I hate to say it, but he looks 100% Asian. The body language is also not at all as I associate it. Him, he should be walking, marching, or preaching. So everybody's going to have their opinions. Last thought in 30 seconds. Our caller, who identified herself as white and very moved, I hope that that's going to be the case and that we're not going to see a lot of white Americans kind of walking by that statue on the mall and, you know, going to the traditional ones, Lincoln and Washington and everything else. I don't think we are, but it was designed to be American as opposed to African American, would you say?
Absolutely. And if people do, of whatever background, if they do pass by the MLK statue and don't stop to look at it, they're missing a critical part of the American experience. And, you know, that's part of why it was such an emotional a moment for me, was because, you know, we're included. And, you know, we can't forget. We must keep working toward, working toward getting to where we need to be and where he pushed us to be.
Natalie Hopkinson, author of Deconstructing Tyrone, A New Look at Black Masculinity in the Hip-Hop Generation, a columnist for The Root. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about the new MLK Memorial.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a fall movie preview. Stay with us.